Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Knowing the right guy is the way to do it.
Mark Ross, former NFL executive, now with NFL Network as an analyst, giving his thoughts on where the Browns are and kind of really that's at the heart of the quarterback move. And what you do this offseason, what you do the rest of the season kind of lines it up. But I think he put it the perfect way. Like, if you're content going, and let's just be honest, what the Saints have done the last 4 years, which is, hey, we used to contend for Super Bowls, and now we're going to contend for 8-9 or 9-8. That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
And then the other way to do it is obviously do something a little more elongated, but with the intention of winning Super Bowls.
What it does, in many respects, it does keep your job. Like, I think it's a thing that Tomlin, in the end of Ben Roethlisberger, when we were calling him Rigatoni Roethlisberger because he had such a noodle arm, and then you go into Mason Rudolph and all these other guys, it's like, that's exactly what he was doing. That's why Justin Fields is the perfect example to bring up here. Like, what are you doing? Are you trying to win Super Bowls, or are you trying to be a team that gets to 500 and maybe makes a postseason appearance to then just be like the Steelers were last year, double-digit dogs against the Buffalo Bills and never stood a chance? Like, I find it so fascinating.
You can't go, though, from we have to move on from Baker, and then the only option that we can do to do this is to trade for Deshaun. You can't do
because
that.
Because they made a Super Bowl play.
Yeah, you can't.
And then scurry away from your identity. Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
You can't do that.
It would be complete hypocrisy is what it would be. Like, if they decide to go that route, let's say, oh, we're going to get a Justin Fields. We're going to try to turn Gardner Minshew into something. Whatever this ends up being, if they go that route, then they are completely straying from the identity that they told us who they are.
Well, and that's kind of what left me so uncomfortable with the final 8 games of the season, was that it sure seemed like Andrew was trying to put a lot of stock into, we just got to coach better and play better for the final 8 games of the season, when I hate to be that guy, winning is not in your best interest.
No.
Competing is, but winning 6 of, and they're probably not because of the schedule, but winning of 6 of 8 games while you're trying is just as destructive.
But you see the cycle they've gotten themselves into. This is why it feels like there's just they got mush for brains right now, because they're all very smart people, and we know that. And I believe in my heart of hearts, they have done this the right way with these Super Bowls with an S in mind, multiple Super Bowls. That was what the big move was about. But now they're trying to preserve their jobs.
Yeah.
And you see how it flies in the face of that. You can no longer go for Super Bowls right now because that's not attainable in the moment while also being able to keep your jobs.
I don't know if you agreed with me or not. But when Mark said, what was your question about Andrew Berry? Because I asked the first question.
It was very simple. I think it was like 5 words. It's like, does Andrew Berry keep his job?
Yeah. And the only rebuttal that Mark Ross had.
That's 6 words, actually.
Who admitted, by the way, that he liked Andrew Berry personally, which is an eraser phrase.
Ivy League guy.
Yeah,
you know.
Of course.
They're both Ivy Leaguers.
I like everybody. But
that's
me tell
everyone
you,
loves you so much with that Bowling Green Ivy.
Yeah, that's that. And it's just salt and Vinny's. It's these eyes, man. They get me a lot in this life, right? Slept my way to the middle.
I'm thinking of Michael Cera and Superbad. These eyes.
But I got to be honest with you. Like, if the best defense of a guy that's been here for 5 years is the owner likes you, then maybe the owner needs to be the adult in the room.
Oh, that was Mark saying, I've been around long enough to know how this goes, and that's the only chance that he has of being able to keep his job.
I think that's really interesting because most times NFL people go, well, they've won 2. They do the, well, Stefanski is the 2-time coach of the year, which, by the way, did for Stefanski. But, Andrew Berry, I mean, they've got 2 playoff seasons and the playoff win, like Andrew Berry. I was expecting more of a defense of Andrew Berry
He's got no defense. That's it. That's exactly. He basically, in many ways, told us his answer without telling us his answer. He's got no defense of Andrew Berry. Nobody that's around the league for as long as he's been has a defense of Andrew Berry, because you don't go 5 years with 1 playoff win and walk around like you're the greatest thing to ever exist. It doesn't work that way. You got to win games. You got to win playoff games.
If the Browns fired Andrew Berry but made Glenn Cook their new GM, who's I think the assistant GM or scouting director, would they get picks for hiring Because you know how, like,
I don't think it works if it's your same team.
Oh, that's Bupkis.
Yeah, they got some for Kwesi Adofo-Mensah when he went to the Vikings. I don't think you get it for elevating people within your own organization.
Well, that's Bupkis. You should. You hired. You won. You've promoted from within. You've hired. No, not
maybe I'm
Matt.
Wrong there. I don't know. I am not up on that part of the language.
I have not read that yet. All right.
Are you trying to say we promote someone so you get a third round pick?
And
you
a fourth round pick. I think you get a couple third round picks. Yeah. Yeah. At this point, come on. Give me all the comp picks.
We can't act like being a GM is like, it's all the same.
That's what I'm saying.
It's all the same.
I'm saying, like, if you said, all right, who's a coach that really, you know, gets the blood flowing? It's Mike Vrabel. If you say, all right, now who's the GM? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm not.
We don't have a list of GMs that we just love and are sitting there waiting.
Because proven GMs don't become available. And then when you do have them, you fire them after 2 years.
They might go for somebody that had already previously been a GM and maybe does have a track record of being able to select, I don't know, quarterbacks, stuff like that.
Where are they?
No, I know it's tough to find. And I'm not going to bring John Dorsey's name into the mix again for the second time already in this show. But Andrew Berry, when he was
that's
hired.
Like the funniest thing.
Andrew Berry, when he was hired, was the youngest GM in the sport.
So now we gotta get an old guy.
I think you go old guy now. I think you zig and then zag, right? They never go youngest guy in the sport to then go youngest guy in the sport again.
So while we're on the topic, would you like to talk about something that isn't depressing right now?
Sure.
Actually, I will say.
Sure.
Expectation thing kind of actually does have me a little depressed.
Okay.
I want to get into the Channing Frye in a minute thing because he put some big expectations in the Cavs, but. I'm pretty excited for tonight. Go get that record,
you
Kings.
Want your record. Your record that I didn't even realize you pulled. You pulled the wool over my eyes is what you did.
I'm that kind of guy. I thought
the record we were breaking a LeBron James set record because you'd said you wanted this record because you wanted something for them.
Yeah.
You wanted something that wasn't in the LeBron James history books. Yeah. And we're chasing down the 1976-1977 Cavs team.
Yeah, no,
a Cavs team, by the way, that started off with this record and then finished four games above 500.
I'm by the way, I never said they were taking this record from LeBron.
Okay.
That is not what I inferred.
Okay.
Although I think that's what you got out of it.
I clearly misheard.
So it was the idea that I want a record for this team that LeBron hasn't had.
Yeah.
And so tonight, though, I also realized just while we're on it, I also realize there's no way in hell they're catching the Warriors record. Yeah.
I have no idea what the Warriors record is.
So, all right. So, tonight, if they win against the Pelicans, that's 9 wins. That's great. 9-0 to start the season.
Yeah.
That's the franchise record.
Okay.
I would like you to guess what the Warriors started in 2015-2016.
My thought process goes to 26, but that seems incredibly high. But at the same time, it's incredibly high. There's no way they started 26-0.
Okay.
And then, because they lost, what, 9 games that year?
Yeah, I think that's about right. Yeah, just a niner.
Because that was the one that lost to the Cavs in the finals, and they went 73-9, and that's
blew
why
a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, which is incredible.
Forgot it.
Absolutely incredible. Yeah, 26 is my answer. That feels incredibly high.
Are you just doing it because you'd rather go over than go under?
Is this like my $1 Bob situation, is it?
I mean,
it's like the inverse of that.
I think it's the Price is Right. You can't go over.
Well, I can't go over?
Everybody plays with the Price is Right rules. That's just basic.
No, screw that. I can go over in this game. I feel fine going over.
Matt, can he go over?
26 seems high.
Max blowing his nose at me. Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot. Yeah, we're playing the Price is Right rules, right? No going over?
Yeah, no going over.
Okay.
Well, then I would just say 9 to make sure I don't go over.
Well, that's
see how that kills the
disingenuous.
Bit? See how that kills the bit right there?
You can't go that under either.
Bum, 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 bum.
Right. Ooh! No, we're going to do it like the Showcase Showdown, which is you can't go over,
but
I'm going to give Kayla a chance to guess, and if she's closer to the number...
Okay.
Oh, man, did we just... We're spitting fire
I thought
right
we were going to play Mountain Man, where I just, once it goes, we do the yodeler. Yeah, yeah, we do the music up,
and then
once I go over...
Now you're really killing
the bit. Because he's that far off from a mountain man.
No, everybody... It's the yodeler. That's
the name
of
the bit. Yodeler, but like top ahead, I'm like the mountain man, and you know exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, because I knew it... Go ahead. Actually, would you like Kayla to answer first?
I'd have no idea what like a dishwasher costs right now or any appliances or anything like that.
$9.99, Bob.
I would be awful at the Price is Right game at the current moment. I'm going to change my answer then. I locked in at 26. We're changing it because I want to change it. 17 is going to be my new guess.
17, Kayla. What is, again, We're trying not to go over. What is the record number of wins out of the gate for a team to start the season? He said 17. Be funny if she $1 bobbed him.
That just seems high to me. That seems hard to do. I would say like 14.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
You say 18?
Yes, that's what I said.
I think she said 18.
Yeah, I did.
That's what, Mac, is that what you heard?
Oh, what,
you
18? I totally would have won. What happened?
No, she said 18.
I said 18.
It's 24 wins. Yeah. She $1 bobbed you.
You talked me off my first one. That was really
close. What do I get?
But you would have gone over.
That was really, I know, but that
you
was.
You get to be right over JP.
That's
really funny.
They got to pay taxes on that new car.
24 wins. That is dumb.
It's not within reach.
It's right up there with the consecutive games hit streak. Like, good luck. You might get to 30.
Well, think about
maybe get to 35.
How many back-to-backs did they have in that stretch, too? Because what makes this Cavs run impressive to me is they went that Friday and then Saturday, and then Donovan beat the Bucks because Donovan played 22 minutes on Friday night and was well-rested because they had to start off. They started off the first quarter doubling up 36-18, so they had a chance there. Like, you need to have the back-to-backs go the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have the travel situation go the right way. Like, there's so many things.
You're a big travel guy.
So
travel's
many
gotta be
things
right.
Need to go in your favor. You know, my friends in the desert care about the travel in a big way. But you need to have so many things go your right way that are out of your control to even get there.
So the only downside to if they get the record tonight is it is going to continue the thing that is going to harsh my mellow more than I need it to. Which is the expectations are going to start to get out of control for the Cavs soon.
You mean exactly what happened to the Guardians?
Yeah, yeah.
We went through 3 months of awesome baseball. They continued to just beat up on everybody, yep. And then the expectations got way out of hand.
And then people were mad they lost in the ALCS.
Yes, yep. Because after the first 3 months, people were convinced themselves that this was a World Series or bust team, when in reality, it shouldn't have been a World Series or bust team.
And I submit, for your and everybody else's enjoyment, Cavs legend Channing Frye was on NBA TV and I think proved my point here with his expectations for the Cavaliers.
This team is going to be very good. They're a top three team in the Eastern Conference since Philly is hurt. This team needs to go to the Eastern Conference Finals or we're still going to be disappointed. It's just a fact. So if Garland and Mobley aren't running at that motor or at that level, this team doesn't have a chance. And it's just a fact.
If they start 9-0 or even if they start 8-0 and they spurn this into a top two seed, this idea of if it's anything but the Eastern Conference Finals, that pressure is going to get unbearable at some point a lot quicker than with the Guardians because you still have the weight of the Donovan trade and people weaponize that all the time. And I just hate it. Just enjoy the good basketball. We don't need to put expectations on this.
I also look at their offensive numbers, Nick, and they're top five in a million different categories. They're just basic stuff. They're second in points. That's all you really need to know. But they're top five in a bunch of categories offensively. I don't know that this is a team that's going to be up there the entire stretch of the year.
So how far do you fall?
I mean,
like, what do you think? If they level out, where do they level out?
A great jump. If they were somewhere between like 8 to 12, would have been awesome. Mm-hmm. I would have been over the moon with that type of jump, bringing Atkinson into the mix. I think it's been such a drastic jump based off of the core four and everything we know about the core four, and then obviously the other pieces that I hope it's sustainable. I don't know that it is.
But it's so, because we've had the sustainability conversation, but just to kind of start here. Because there's the other half of that we got to get to in a minute. But is this where your expectation, like, when you heard that, because I didn't hear anybody preseason, fans said Eastern Conference Finals. I didn't hear anybody in the media. Well, there might have been one or two local guys, but I didn't hear anybody in the media outside of Cleveland go, Eastern Conference Finals.
No, especially when we were playing with, and it was a wrong assumption, but I think everyone was playing with the idea that the Bucks would be much better than they are right now. They were playing with the idea that the moves that the 76ers had made would all of a sudden have them figuring it all out instead. Both those situations are an absolute disaster. That clears the way. The Knicks made a bunch of moves. I think people expect them to eventually get there, but right now that hasn't paid off for them in spades. Like, I think a lot of us looked at what happened last year
and that was the time to strike. It didn't happen, obviously. I take it for what it's worth, but I think a lot of people thought that the East right now would be much better than what it is.
I just don't like when the national media gloms onto you after 8 games. That's
I think
all.
They need to glam onto something, though. I think that's what they're telling us. Because, again, 76ers are a dumpster fire, and Joel Embiid is shoving reporters. Yeah, the Bucks are ready to fire Doc Rivers, and Giannis wants to be traded. Like, absolute chaos scenarios. Nobody can say anything about the Knicks because it didn't happen in the snap of a fingers. And the Celtics, people are bored with the Celtics. They're too good. They're at the top, and everyone knows that. So, like, the Cavs are the darlings of the East. That's what they are right now. Like, they're the feel-good, positive NBA story. Yeah, so it makes sense why people would like gravitate towards
and
that.
And that's the thing that they do, where then if you have any momentary stress, they find the bat.
They're not here to stay.
Yeah.
That's the difference. You and me, we're here to stay.
When it says, oh, you're talking about the national media
folks?
Yeah,
they're not here to stay. They're just taking the good story and running with it.
216-474-0092. Channing Frye says the Cavs need to make the Eastern Conference Finals. Would you use the word need? And we do have to talk about the rest of the Eastern Conference and whether it's going to be this, dare I say, easy on 92.3 The Fan.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.